there is a lot of value and expertise that comes into designing a simple solution. There's an elegance to a simple solution that achieves the business outcome without the unnecessary complexity or unknown or variability with some of these burning edge or bleeding edge technologies. Now, I balance that by saying that there's absolutely a need for emerging technologies, right? They can solve some really, really great things, but doing them just because they're emerging or because they look cool and you really, really, really want to try it because you read about it and your friends are doing it, maybe it's not the right enterprise reason.
Welcome to another edition of Cloud Unfiltered. I'm your host, Michael Chenitz. And today we have our special guest, the CTO of Cloud, Travis Runty from Rackspace, right?
That's right. That's right. Thanks, man. I'm really, really excited to be here. Good to have some good conversation, and we'll see where it goes. For those who don't know me, Travis Runty, CTO for Public Cloud at Rackspace. I've been at Rackspace for almost 17 years, was an engineer, architect, delivery lead, and now I'm helping lead the public cloud strategy. So great to have you, man.
Yeah, no, thanks for being here. And that's the way to do an introduction, short and sweet and right on point. That's what I love. So that was great. So the reason I had you on here is that there's so many people that have gone to what we consider the hyperscalers, really, and now have chosen to, you know, kind of rethink the way that they do their applications, maybe even let their applications dictate. This is a crazy idea, but the applications dictate the needs first. So, you know, I'd love to get some understanding of what your customers are doing and what you're seeing. Maybe we can start there.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we saw the rush, right? The mass movement to public cloud just because. And there's a lot of, you know, say intent there, a lot of opportunity there. But what we're seeing is, what I'm seeing personally, is a more balanced approach. Customers that are there are really assessing, how are we using it? Is it delivering the promise that we wanted? Is our workforce been upskilled to manage it? Have we introduced complexity or have we reduced complexity? Have we realized the savings or have we introduced cost? You know, ultimately, trying to make sure that the decision that they made maybe a few years ago, that was the right decision. If they evolved appropriately to realize the promise of the public cloud, right? And we see the buzzes or the phrases about, you know, workloads being repatriated to private cloud, which is happening. I don't see it that terribly common, but what I do see customers more frequently doing is saying, we did a lift and shift, right? Let's really reassess, are we using the public cloud as an IaaS? Like, why are we doing that, right? How can we make sure we modernize the stack and really, really get the benefit that we sought after originally?
So I'm curious because, you know, when I was a director of IT many years ago, it was when the public cloud was just starting and every CTO, CIO was like, we need to be cloud first. Yeah. Well, why? But what people did is they said, you know what, we have this application running here on-prem. We're going to take that same application as it's currently written, and we're going to lift it and move it over to the cloud. We're not going to worry about scaling or not going to worry about focusing the application onto the different components and bits that'll make it really scale well and using all the newer features. So what you had is a really expensive second data center. So it sounds like what you're saying now is people are like, well, that was really expensive test that was out there. And what they're doing is they're being smarter about, you know, about where their application runs. So the question I have for you is, are people really starting to think about the application first and not the platform first? Because that's really where I think it needs to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you nailed it. You know, a phrase that I've heard more lately, it was an old phrase, but I've heard it more lately, and I love it, is the cloud is for everyone, not everything, which is a great use case for that phrasing though, right? You know, I know at Rackspace and within my team, we are specifically having workload-specific conversations, right? Because reality is different workloads are targeted for different opportunities. Maybe it's a simple containerization. Maybe that workload is going to have no investment and is quite static. That's probably a great case to leave on your on-prem or private cloud. But maybe that workload is critical, right? Maybe that workload is going to drastically evolve or has an opportunity to really, really leverage some of the amazing cloud native services that are available to it. And maybe you're willing to go through that, you know, pilgrimage to refactor that emerging application or that leading application that matters so much to your organization. If that's the case, then we know that the promise can be delivered, right? But I think having that conversation on a workload by workload basis is appropriate. And then what happens is you become a hybrid multi-cloud organization, but you're not necessarily introducing complexity or you're not introducing new relationships or technologies just because it's much more intentional and isolated and protects your workforce as well.
Now you must have a lot of conversations with different customers, and I'm curious, you know, what percentage do you see that's actually containerizing a lot of these workloads now? And, you know, it used to be that there wasn't a good bit of containerization, but it was always in test and dev. Nothing was really going to prod a few years ago. Now it seems to be more and more, but I'm curious, like, what do you see as that evolution in what you do?
Yeah, I see for most customers that are looking to leverage more, you know, cloudy type capabilities, I'd say probably 50% of the engagements that I'm part of are looking to containerize for a lot of reasons. But it also goes back to one of the original sort of cloud arguments that they maintain that portability, right? Which there's a lot of opportunity there. And I think customers are being more and more sensitive to being vendor locked, being platform locked, building stacks around proprietary software. And so I think the containerization opportunity is something that does give them opportunities. There's still a lot of rework to do when you do, but it's much less.
Now, what do you do? How do you kind of direct people that ask you about making this whole solution less complex? So you know, I think about the cloud native solutions that are out there. I just came from KubeCon in Paris, and there is 5,000 different solutions on the CNCF landscape. There are, you know, all these different options for CNIs, CSIs, all these different things that you can do. Yeah. How do you even start to recommend this to somebody without having to support this massive ecosystem, you know, that can't really, I mean, it's great. It's great for a PhD study, right. Yeah. But you know, it's not so great if you have to maintain a lot of these technologies. So what do you actually recommend to your customers?
Yeah. There is a lot of value and expertise that comes into designing a simple solution. There's an elegance to a simple solution that achieves the business outcome without the unnecessary complexity or unknown or variability with some of these burning edge or bleeding edge technologies. Now, I balance that by saying that there's absolutely a need for emerging technologies, right? They can solve some really, really great things, but doing them just because they're emerging or because they look cool and you really, really, really want to try it because you read about it and your friends are doing it, maybe it's not the right enterprise reason. And so when I coach customers, right, what I tell them is there is a lot of risk in taking your workforce through this journey. They're going to be struggling sometimes. They're going to be thriving sometimes, right? But we need to make sure that we are very, very intentional on the enterprise stack and the technologies that we leverage throughout and on the destination, because this workforce is going to have to support it. And so every single new technology that you introduce, while it may solve a need, it also can create sprawl and complexity for your workforce to manage. When there's complexity, when there's technology sprawl, that generally means less reliability and less predictability. And so really, really, really ensuring that customers temper their excitement or the excitement of their engineers to make sure that we're running a business here. This is a production workload, and the complexity and the risk that we introduce here has to be quite intentional. So let's talk about each technology. Let's establish an enterprise stack. Let's establish an enterprise architecture, and let's at least acknowledge and agree on which new technologies we're embracing because it solves a very specific purpose.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I mean, what are some of the frustrations you're seeing of some of these customers that are, you know, that have gone to the cloud and now are coming back? Like, what are they fighting with? What are they contending with?
Yeah. The customers that we see having the toughest time are the customers that are leveraging a hyperscaler as an IaaS, right? And they likely don't have a strong security posture, and likely don't have a good observability tool. And so it's a time and told story, right? Of sprawl, of unknown, unpredictability, shadow ops. And reality is, it's gone so far out of control for most of these customers. The project, just to understand what they have, what the risk is a transformation of its own, right? They're not talking about how do we get to that point. They're talking about where are we today, which is really, really scary, I think, for a lot of customers.
When do you actually, you know, obviously being the CTO of public cloud for Rackspace, when do customers tend to pull you in, or when do you, you know, talk to them? Is it usually when they're struggling with something or for planning, or what happens?
Yeah. Well, I personally love it when they call us at the very beginning of their cloud journey.
Yeah.
But that's not the way reality always works, right? And so we're prepared to take customers through the advisory, transformational, management, and optimized phase. Like, that's how we design our portfolio. That's how we articulate our solutions. But the reality is the world's complex. This is likely not their first attempt at cloud. This may not be their first attempt at leveraging a services provider to help them through that. And so I would say it is wildly variable on when and where we are engaged, right? But what matters is that when we are engaged, we're able to say, hey, we know what you're doing, right? We've seen what you're going through. This is not an uncommon challenge. So many customers, so many CIOs and CTOs think that their world, as complex as it is, which it is very complex, that they're the only ones that are in that situation. And I'm just over here like, I know 10 other people that are going through these same things. Some of them are your competitors probably, right? And you all think the other one's got it figured out. Guess what, right? They're all trying to figure it out together. And so we see just a lot of customers that engage and say, hey, look, we need help, right? We need help, that's what they say, we need help. And then and we can really assess, figure out where they are, what's worked for them, we can build upon, and maybe where we need to reassess.
What's funny is when customers, and I've dealt with a lot of them too, think that their stack is so unique that it just can't be duplicated, you know, in any which way or form, to find out that probably like a million other people have a stack that's pretty similar.
That's right.
There's not that much that you can really do that's going to be so unique.
That's right. There might be some off-the-shelf reference architectures that might solve those needs pretty easily. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So change the subject just a little bit. You know, we live in this world of complexity, and we're talking about kind of removing that complexity. But then there's all these new things that people have to contend with, because things like cloud native security became a thing.
Yeah.
So now there's supply chain security and SBOMs and all these other things that come into play.
Yeah.
What are you seeing that your customers are worrying about these things, that it's on top of mind, that they're going, you know, they're shifting left more and going, bringing it into the development cycle? What are you seeing in there?
Yeah. So we see customers, I personally see customers from a broad range of stages, right? Some that are still on-prem and trying to figure out their cloud strategy, and some that are well along and really, really effective in their cloud strategy. What I will say is pretty consistent is, I mean this in the nicest way, but anytime you put a human there to make a decision or to establish a best practice, they can mess up, right? There could be an error. And so we are seeing a ton of excitement about security as code, right? Ensuring that as customers establish their pipelines, that they are leveraging some really, really neat tools to help them enforce security best practices, but also maybe their own business policies, right? Ensuring that what they've agreed as an appropriate rule or pattern or policy is also enforced at a systematic level. What that's done as well is it's introduced the opportunity to take the security team member out of the closet, you know, down the hallway, and actually make them a member of the DevOps practice, right? And so everyone's job becomes security at that point, but you've got an expert there to help you through it. And we're seeing that as a reality, right? We've designed a lot of our engagements to help customers there. We've got tools that do that for us. And I think it's anytime I can I can take a team member and, you know, amplify what they're able to do, but also take some of the risk and decision-making off their plate. I think it's a great opportunity.
So, you know, probably when you started out, when I started out, there was, you know, very segmented network and server and developer and all these different teams. Are you seeing these things converge a lot more now? And how is that, you know, occurring? Are people still throwing it over the fence, or do you see a lot more of that engagement?
Yeah, so it's interesting, right? You had your world, right, where it was just compute. Then it was just the bare metal. Then it was the OS, and then it was the network, and right to where when we designed our public cloud business unit, we specifically designed it with four specific focus areas: platform, data, security, and then cloud native development. Which I think about a year and a half ago made good sense. I'll tell you what I'm seeing though is cloud native development and platform. Probably going to be one single skill set, right, in the next couple year or two, if it's not already. That's where all the best practices are occurring. We want our platform guys to think like cloud native developers, guys and gals. But it's also interesting because we have our platform team members that we're also making sure that they're data savvy and security savvy. And so we separated them because there was a period in the time where we had to hire and build these unicorns of team members that knew how to do all of these things effectively. And that became unsustainable, right? And then we took them, we said, okay, let's build focus areas or service lines or COEs, whatever you want to call them. I'm starting to see it reconverge, but maybe a little bit more intentionally and safely, or we'll say reasonably, to make sure that we have a sane expectations of those team members.
Yeah, I mean, there is this belief that, and one that at least I believe should be true, is that the developers are here to design applications that have business needs.
Yeah.
So really, you don't want to have, you know, a tremendous amount of other things these guys are responsible for, because otherwise it's going to slow down the process of them to get the out the door. So that's where platform engineering kind of came in.
Right. That's right.
Because they want to create this platform that could do 90% of that for them, and right, then, or whatever percentage. Don't quote me on 90, but whatever percentage of that is for them. Yeah. And then, you know, allow them to do what they really do.
Yeah. Yeah. How can you give them the flexibility, the autonomy to self-service responsibly, right? How do you set the appropriate guardrails that don't slow them down, but protect them and allow us to safely provide some self-service opportunity?
Yeah, absolutely. So what else are you seeing in terms of trends right now, in terms of things that occur, you know?
Yeah, have you heard about AI? Have you talked about AI lately?
Oh, what's AI? Okay, AI. No, yeah, so yeah, that's a good question, and that's one that I have on my list, actually. What, you know, how is AI affecting this space, or what are you seeing in that?
Yeah, it's interesting. For some reason, and I guess I understand why, but most people couple an AI conversation to a data conversation, which makes sense, right? I mean, there's a lot of, that's where, you know, a good portion of the insights are gleaned. But you need to be able to operate it successfully, safely, securely, sustainably, right? And so we make sure we're trying to reinforce is an AI conversation is not always just a data conversation. It will be a data conversation, but it's also a platform conversation, right? A security conversation. How effectively have you designed your LZ to make sure that you're able to leverage these LLMs or these models without necessarily sharing too much, right? Do you know what data you have? Do you know where it is? Do you know how it's being leveraged and where it's going? And so I guess we're seeing absolutely the trend of, it's not even a trend, right? It's just a need of customers having these AI conversations. But what we're trying to do is make sure they understand it's not just a data conversation. It is a full stack conversation to make sure you can leverage everything that you have in a very, very safe manner to maximize the value that it has to provide to you.
And everyone's doing that, right? Everyone notices the value, notices that they're safe and everything's good. No, nothing going out.
No rash decisions, right? None of that security.
Everyone's just doing it safely.
Never.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's interesting to see the maturity there, because, you know, everything's kind of spawning at once right now in that AI area. And even going to, again at KubeCon, you know, it was, the other conversation was either AI or platform engineering. So the two things we're talking about today seems to be what's on everybody's minds. But yeah, I think the key to AI is a few things. One is, you know, how do we scale it? And how do we model it? How do we secure it? It's almost like the when you think about the when the SaaS and cloud providers came out, you had almost the shadow IT thing going on. And you really have the same thing again today, where people are just going to use AI because, hey, I can get my work done faster by putting the secret sauce on there and asking it to iterate on it itself instead of having to, you know, do it myself.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, it's a great, it's an exciting thing to be a part of because everyone is talking about it. Everyone's excited about it. They all want to use it. Right. But you'd be surprised. We have customers come to us and say, I'm getting pressure to use it. I know I want to use it. I don't know how to use it. I don't know where to start. And then we say, okay, let's talk about some use cases. Let's understand your business. Let's understand your workforce. Let's understand, you know, how savvy your team is, right? And then they always say, I want an external chatbot. Hold on, let's not start there, right? Let's ease into it. Let's enable your workforce internally. There's some safe ways to familiarize yourself with these technologies, build an AI savvy workforce without necessarily putting your brand at risk in your first foray into AI.
That's probably not a good event, you know, in case anything happens, you know, right out of the box. That's probably not good for your career.
Yeah, we saw it. It's an airline in Canada, and the chatbot agreed to a discount for a specific customer. And then employee reviewed it and said, actually, no, that's not the case. It went to court, and the court agreed that the AI's commitment was upheld, essentially. So there's precedence now of the law favoring the decision of an AI generated message.
Yeah, we just, you know, it's really interesting, you know, all the legal ramifications that are coming out of that. You know, I'm really curious to see a lot with the like artwork and music and, you know, licenses in terms of GitHub and like, you know, yeah. and all the repos, you know, what happens there? Because it's such unknown territory. So I think you're going to see a lot of legal precedents in the next few months to years, you know?
Yeah. I think it's inevitable. It'll ebb and flow, right? And we'll probably find restrictive and non-restrictive ways of getting there, but it'll normalize. But it'll be an exciting ride, absolutely. I think we'll all learn some things and maybe some experiences that we didn't know we were going to get.
Have you guys enabled services for yourself for doing some of that, you know, through AI now? Or
yeah, and we did exactly what I said, right? Is we not the external chatbot. We did not. We didn't do what we said not to do. What we did is we said, hey, look, like a lot of organizations, we have a lot of disparate knowledge bases, document repositories, basically places of information for our team members to go find information that they need. And so we built a interactive chatbot that will index and leverage all of those knowledge bases and repos, including, you know, documents, and it'll provide a consolidated response. It'll kind of classify that response from a privacy level. And it also will reference every single artifact that it leveraged to form that response. And so that, for us, that was a really, really great use case because one, it was a challenge that we have personally, but it's not an uncommon challenge for organizations that have many disparate data sources that they want to kind of leverage comprehensively or cohesively.
Have you noticed a change in like network design or things like that because of AI, have you noticed, you know, obviously some things are at the edge and you kind of model on that, you know, so yep. What have you seen there?
Yeah. So, you know, we're seeing the zero trust architecture being more asked for, right? Some of the concepts that enable that are operationally challenging, right? But absolutely when we designed as part of our AI business unit, what we did is we established each of the hyperscalers what we consider a best practice or a reference architecture to safely leverage your environment with these AI models. And we leverage a zero trust architecture for each of those. And so that was really, really exciting. A lot of learning, a lot of rework, and a lot of hyperscaler kind of partnerships to make sure those were, say, validated and vetted. but absolutely understanding where your data is and on a transactional level, understanding who's asking for it and if they have the rights to do that, I think has been a good operational exercise. Not a technology exercise, but it's more of an operational exercise.
Well, I think that's kind of one of the, you know, going to that technology versus like operational slash business. I think people are getting smarter about, you know, some of the business needs and kind of backing into the technology. Whereas, you know, technology for a little bit there was kind of leading the way. Yep. You know, it was, you know, we were being this these technologists. But I think what happened was, is that, you know, unfortunately, after COVID, there was a lot of people that were being let go. People didn't have as many people to do the work anymore. And people, you know, companies had to be smarter about how they're using these resources.
Yeah.
So, I think that that's making it, it's the only good outcome of that, because I think it's really sad when people obviously lose jobs and won't need to be there anymore. But yeah, the good outcome is that people are rethinking business needs for things, which is something that, you know, you weren't seeing for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we've seen new stakeholders introduced to these conversations. For example, now we have an accounting rep in most of our conversations to make sure financially that we understand exactly what we're getting into, that we're leveraging best practices so we can, you know, cross bill or back bill or cross charge business units. But that bringing the accounting persona into these technical or architectural conversations, that's a new thing. And so we're seeing business stakeholders being injected into what was traditionally not a business conversation. They were a part of the conversation at some point, but they're from the very, very beginning. They're in this part of the strategy session at this point. Which I think, you know, if I'm an engineer or an architect and I'm designing that for my stakeholders, it's a little bit scary, but it's a great opportunity. You get it right the first time, you're all in it together, and you know, you don't have to worry about it being my idea or their idea, right? It's a collectively designed architecture that meets the business needs from the beginning.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So I'm doing this new segment on this show called Buzzworthy or Buzzworthless. And the idea is to mention a couple terms and you can tell me, and then you can explain why too, about why they may be buzzworthy or buzzworthless. And this is all opinion-based, so there's no wrong or right answer.
All right, this sounds like a group message that me and my buddies would be having in the background. So let's do it.
All right, so I'm going to start with old school. I'm going to go with DevOps. Is it buzzworthy or buzzworthless?
It's whatever you want it to be. We'll call it buzzworthy. I think because it introduces good concepts, right? Best practices. I see, you know, true pipeline, good disciplines, good documentation. But I just think the term just still means whatever people want it to mean. And so there's the risk there.
Yeah, that's what I always think too. Like, there's no common lexicon of what that means.
Yeah. Does it mean you leverage IAC, or does it mean you truly leverage, you know, true pipeline with whatever, right? And so it does. It means whatever you want it to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to go with the next one, and you can tell me what you think. So platform engineering.
I think that's buzzworthy, 100% buzzworthy. I think that I see a ton of opportunity for our business, for our customers, to safely leverage cloud best practices in a very cloud-friendly way, right? I think that it's absolutely, I'm fully bought in on platform engineering for what it's worth, in case you can't tell.
Yeah, no, and I agree with that one too. So I'm totally on board. I think it kind of is more tangible. There's something to go to. There's some skill sets assigned to it. There's, you know, people I think have more agreement to what that looks like.
Yeah, it's weird, right? Because the definition is never like, it's still not necessarily well-defined, but I think it is easier for people to consistently understand what that means.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So anyway, this kind of wraps up another edition of Cloud Unfiltered. I will absolutely thank you for coming on. I think we got some unique perspectives for, you know, what your view is of kind of what the customers are seeing out there.
Cool.
Well, any last minute words of wisdom?
Wisdom, maybe not, but I will say this is a good time. I appreciate you having me. You know, I always appreciate these conversations. And I think what I would remind folks is everyone's going through the journey, right? Your business challenges might be unique, but generally the technology stack or the technology challenges that you have are not usually that unique. And so look for help, look for your community, talk about it, what you can talk about, and trust that in my experience, this community, this cloud community has a lot of open source cultural roots, and they're willing to share, they're willing to help, and they're willing to learn with you. So take advantage of it.
Absolutely. I think those are great words. And thanks so much for coming on the show. It's been a blast.